Welcome on into another edition of the Put It in the Book Show, home of the 2023 World Champion New York Metropolitans. Oh, look at that.
Nice.
Look at that beautiful thing. And I wasn't just talking about my face Metsies. Or my clothes or my hat.
Metsies.
I am Steve. I got Keith right there. Right over there.
Gentlemen.
So sophisticated
and, you are today. And he uses the term loosely.
That was Bobby the Brain used to say that, I think. Rodriguez, write it down there. What's happening, sir?
What's up, boys? Let's talk Mets, baby.
All good in the hood. And we are joining you live today. What's up, Tom? From yeah, a very, very flooded Sunshine State. Yeah, I'm sure everybody has seen all the videos of cars just like streaming down. I don't know if you guys saw Broward Boulevard. It was just
Don't have to convince us. We know it's happening.
40 stalled out cars just floating away. Dude, but crazy. Stay safe out there if you're in South Florida. Or yeah, it's been mostly South Florida. It's been just a drenching rain. But let's get to some goodness, some Mets, some positivity here. They just came off the road trip, won 4 out of 6 games, took both series, and we're going to talk much more about that right after this opening. Put it in the books! All right, and we are back in here. Keith has disappeared. There he goes. He's a hologram.
Barachi, I really missed when Keith used to try and catch that coffee thing. I mean, we have to do that again. I enjoyed that so much. That made me so, my inner child, I was so happy. Every single time. Like,
that was definitely a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
We broke a couple bags in there. It was a lot of fun.
Coffee farting.
And listen, you might as well let's roll with it, Keith. Talk Brooklyn Water Coffee Roasters right at the top here, and then we'll get down to business.
Watercoffeeroasters.com, from the roastery to your front door. Only the finest beans are hand selected for your distinct pleasure, and that means you. You want to be pleased? Go to www.brooklynwatercoffeeroasters.com right now and order 2 bags. And then after you order 2 bags, use the code POPCULTUREPROS and get a 3rd bag free. Hey, what do you know? It is some delicious coffee. It is really fine coffee. Okay. It's guaranteed to ship to you within 24 hours of its roast date, which essentially means, aside from just doing it yourself, you're not going to get anything fresher than that. So get out there now. There's a bunch of delicious flavors, such as dark roast, dark chocolate. It's a rich, dark roasted, chocolatey flavored coffee full of calories. You got to be careful with that, right, Farach? What are the calorie counts in that again?
Absolutely settled.
That's less than 1, people. And if you go out there now, you can get 3 bags. Bags. You can get 3 bags.
Yeah, that wasn't it.
No tea bags. You can get 3 bags. And your 3rd bag is free. There's also a 50% more caffeine line, which is absolutely delicious. Morning Wood, one of my favorites. It's a lot of puns in there, but it's really actually delicious coffee.
It's pretty punny.
Cinnabuzz, one of my favorite. It's a 50% more caffeine coffee with a rich, delicious cinnamon flavor. Check them out now. www.brooklynwatercoffeeroasters.com. Again, from their roaster to your front door, meaning within 24 hours of its roast date, it will be shipped in the mail on its way to you.
And it's going to be glorious.
It'll be shipped.
Reach in them pockets, go a little deep, get that 2nd bag, and use the code POPCULTUREPROS. Get your 3rd bag free, people. Let's go, Mets.
A little tub.
Do it.
Get it done.
All right, let's get into New York Metropolitan talk here. Coming off a nice homestand with some good pitching, timely hitting. I'll say timely hitting because the hitting hasn't fully appeared yet, but very timely hitting and in good spots. The pen has been marvelous with our new closer duo of Robertson and Ottavino. And so, we like to win series here. That's what we do. So just really, really quick reaction from the homestand. Rodriguez, start off with you.
I love it. I love it. You say not good hitting, but timely hitting. All good hitting is timely hitting. So if you're getting some timely hits, then you're hitting well. Because that's when you need to hit.
Yes.
That's when you need to hit, when there's men on base and stuff like that. And the Mets were known for that last year. They drove people in when they were on base. Okay, so they got a guy on second. That guy came in a lot of the time. I don't know the stats specifically, but it doesn't matter because that's what we did, and that's how we won 101 games. That's the way to win another 100 games again this year, by timely hitting, good, fair starting pitching, you know, because there were a couple of clunkers in there. However, the bullpen has been fantastic, man. I got to tell you. Ottavino and Robertson, they've held down the job. They've done it before. So, yeah. You know, they are going to have their failures, guys. Remember this, Met fans.
Rodriguez.
They have to know the truth. I don't lie to my kids. I tell them the truth. They have to know these things. They will have bad games. And when they have a bad game, Lindor will come up and hit a home run, or Pete will come up and hit a home run. And somebody will come up and do what they need to do, as long as it's not Vogel fat. However, you know, how's Darren Ruff doing in Giant World? He got two hits yesterday.
Two-run double. First at bat. The deep left center.
Yeah.
That's where he's comfortable. Not. Whatever. Leave him there.
Listen, I've said it all along. Not everyone can play in New York. You guys know this. We've had our clunkers, man, and so have the Yankees. But not everyone can play in New York, man. It's a lot of pressure. You ain't got the balls. See you later. Go to San Francisco. Who's in San Francisco? Oh, wait. JD is in San Francisco. JD is in San Francisco because he couldn't handle it. He didn't perform when he needed to. Who else is in San Francisco?
Wilmer.
Well, no, Wilmer was a separate. Let's not even talk Wilmer. He doesn't. This is makes nothing about Wilmer. This is just about JD, Darren Ruff,
and Conforto.
Three guys sell
Conforto.
That.
Come on.
I'm not insulting Conforto. But then he got hurt and he choked and he batted 210. So guess what?
He was hurt.
That's all. So what? Goodbye, Conforto. Go play. Yeah,
he's on another team now. Good luck.
I think.
But I have no problem with him.
Conforto.
You don't have a problem. I got a problem with him.
Well, we're gonna
because
we're gonna see that problem next week.
Guess why I got a problem with him? Guess why I got a problem with him?
Tell me.
Because he had a lot of promise, and then he would go into these stupid little slumps that made no sense. He started changing his batting stance. It's just, you know, you can have all the talent in the world, but you can't fix stupid. And sometimes, if you're stupid and hard-headed, that's the way it goes. You're shipped off to San Francisco to play with the ladies.
Here's the thing. So we'll see what happens over in San Francisco. Did he learn something while he was out? In the many off seasons he's been out, San Francisco coaching, are they teaching him something different, or is he just going to fall back into that pattern? Is he just hot? Because we know when Conforto's hot, his numbers look good, and then he goes on like a 45-day opposite of tear, and all of a sudden he's a 220 hitter, and he's behind the curve on everything. So we'll see what happens. But and that's not wishing him ill will. I don't wish that happens to him, but it's just the history. We'll see how it turns out.
Four out of the nine in that lineup over there are ex-Mets. That's just that they're
going to want to really beat us. You know that. Want to.
So that and that series we'll probably talk about next week because that's a Thursday through Sunday series next week.
Homestand, if I can jump on that real quick.
That's where I was going. Yeah, that was Keith.
I honestly don't think we had timely hitting. I think we got on base a lot. I think we were on base so much that we were able to beat a slumping team and bring some runs across the plate, which is a good thing, right? Because you can't score unless you're on base. But we stranded 51 runners over three games. It's not really timely. I just think that we were on base so often that there was the odds are we're just going to score a couple runs, and they were slumping so bad. that we beat them 2 out of 3, which is good. That's how baseball works. I'm not mad at that either. Trust me. But I do think the Mets need to, wake up a little bit with the bats, with the runners in scoring position. That was our key thing last year. That's what really drove us to that 101 win season. The first couple games of the season, we're not looking that good, but it's only a couple games. This is not even a taste. It's not even a valid sample of what the season is. So just be
not
be
even patient. If you're 13-0.
Well, 13-0 is pretty impressive.
That is. I looked into this, and the last time a team started out 12-0, this was yesterday, Cubs? Was 87.
No, hold on.
I remember
it was National League West, Central. Oh, right? who was it?
Well, back then it was just East and West, and this was a former American League team. So
Milwaukee?
Yes.
Astros? So, oh, okay.
Milwaukee. So that was in 87.
The Milwaukee Astros.
However, yeah,
Astros aren't American League, sorry.
However, the following month, kind of like us a few years ago, they lost 13 straight. So they won 12 straight to start the year, and then in May they lost 13 straight. They missed the playoffs.
I don't see Tampa doing that.
Yeah, Tampa's like they always do the right things. But catching up on the comments here, William saying not everybody plays here. Absolutely, that's a thing. Pat says if we finish April at 500, should we worry? I'm just gonna look real take a quick shot at the schedule. Right now we're at 500. You got Oakland, the Dodgers and the Giants, and then the Nationals and Braves. So I would say if we did finish at 500 in April, it's not the best of things.
I thought we were 7-6.
We're 7-6. Sorry. Yeah.
I think we're one game over, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we worry, but I do think we start taking a look at things. What can be tweaked? What can be changed?
They're taking a look at them now, Keith. You know that.
Well, Epler's watching AAA right now. He's at the game watching Mauricio, Fientos, and Beatty.
This is a fantastic segue. We're just great at these things. Not only are these kids that you just mentioned knocking at the door, they're trying to pound down the door. They're trying to, use one of those police barricade deals to knock down the door. I mean, Mauricio, he hit 113 miles an hour on a beam last night. They're just killing it. You
don't know how big this kid really is and how big he can get because he's still growing and he's still putting on man muscle. This dude is going to probably be a beast.
He's gonna be launching into Coca-Cola Corner.
Can he say man muscle again? I want to see, is he playing outfield yet?
I had not seen that.
I do see him as our left fielder going forward.
Well, so here's my four. It's and everybody is like, oh my God, it's crazy. But my four potential concerns to semi larger concerns are Escobar, Vogelbach, Cookie, but not as much because I think he can get that turn around. Canna's really struggled outside of that one game. So
can we pause there real quick on Canna?
Because
I don't know if it's Gary or Keith or Ron, one of the great three, had mentioned that Canna's very intentional. He studies. He takes a long time in the batter's box, outside the batter's box, and they think that this whole pitch clock thing may be really wreaking havoc on his game. To me, I think get over it. You're a major leaguer, but I don't know. Maybe it's a serious head game with him,
Yeah, right.
What do you guys think is easier? So you got this head game thing, right? So do you think it's easier for just shut up and get in the box? You didn't say that. I'm for lack of a better term, or beating the shift, shut up and hit the other way. I think it's easier to get in the box within a certain amount of time than to consistently hit the ball the other way enough for a shift never to take place.
Here's what I think. I think if you get paid $7 million to do either one of those things, you should be spending extra time in the batting cage, getting in there quick, and learning to hit directionally. I mean, honestly,
that's what old school guys would say. And I agree with you, Keith. I'm not saying you're wrong because I agree 100%. However, however you got to the major leagues, if you're a player, you're going to keep that way. You're not going to just change it. You're going to make them change their game to you. That's what a lot of these players think. Now, is it dumb? Most of the time it is, because they don't get hits. But, you know, it's how they feel. And when you're a player, you kind of want to go with what got you there. Even if at the end of the day, you think that, you know, they might get you, you in your mind, you're going to beat them. You're always going to beat them. That's your mentality. So that's why these guys, they don't want to change themselves. They it's their game. It's how they got to the majors, and they're going to keep it going. That's dumb, but.
But so you say the kids and whatever, but this whole thing of the last 10, whatever, 15 years is being taught, right? So they were taught swing for the fences, pull. And then everybody started shifting, but they were still being taught the same way, that it didn't catch up to itself. So it's just like anything else, when you're blaming or you know, the new and up and comers, the kids, generations, you know, generation before is always going to say something about the generation after them.
It's your game and your career, dude. Here's the thing. You're going to teach me one way to get to the majors, and I see that way is failing. It's my career. I want to get to the majors. I'm going to get to the majors somehow. So I'm going to figure out.
But was it failing?
So that, like, doesn't matter to me then.
But when guys like, but when they're following what they're doing and they're hitting a ton of home runs, but they're hitting 225, but they get paid, then why would they change?
Well, it depends. Right. It depends what the team.
It's an ownership.
Team wants that,
yeah. The whole game is at fault. I think the whole game is at fault for it.
And right, it is in a way, yeah. Farach. And, and I think what both you guys are saying is true, where I think in different ways you're both saying it's a personal choice of the guy who's stepping into the box. For me, I would want to, well, okay, I can hit 40 home runs, but I don't want to be a 220 hitter. I want to hit 40 and I want to bat 260.
Like, but if you did that,
if you constantly
and got $30 million a year for it, you're
then you're
promoting. No. The owners are promoting the wrong behaviors, because they were paying these guys.
But you're the product. See, that's the thing.
But it doesn't matter, because the owner said, "Oh, you hit 220, and but you hit 45 home runs."
All that matters is
Kyle Schwarber. How much money did Kyle Schwarber just get? He hits 46 home runs, hits 220. So there's a they're promoting it.
I put a baseball right here. Right in his rib.
I'll be honest.
His rib, he's not hitting those 40 home runs anymore.
Those 40 home runs are super attractive. Yeah. Obviously, right? Because producing runs and everything else. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just old school. To me, it was always Dave Kingman. He's going to bat Mendoza. He's going to hit 30-something home runs. Mm-hmm. But he's going to strike out 150 times. Yeah, it's like all or nothing. You want a guy who can get up there and play to the situation, not go up there with his game, swing hard, and for the fences every single time. No, okay, you got a pitcher who just don't give up home runs. Bases are loaded. Infield is tight. The defense is playing in. You want to be able to just get it over the defense.
Are they playing baseball? Are they playing baseball? Are they playing money ball? Because at the end of the day, it's all about the money. And like Farachi said, and like you said, like I say, it kind of don't even matter at the end of the day.
And it's a shame.
I want to be a real Hall of Famer, not a guy who hits 210 and gets voted in because he hit 650 crappy home runs in a little.
Okay, field. So that brings up another question. I know we're mm-hmm. but I think this is an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. So you just said Hall of Famer. Are guys nowadays not as concerned with going to the Hall of Fame? And again, back to the money. I can hit 225 and get $25 million. What did Conforto just get? 3 years for – or was that a one-year deal that he got?
I don't know.
He got a one-year deal. If you give me a second to get my frozen mouse, I'll find out. Hold on.
Mark Canna. Was never a high batting average guy, but the Mets gave him 2 for $26. So you're getting $13 million to hit, and I'm not saying Canna is going to be a Hall of Famer or anywhere remote, but you're getting paid $13 million as a, you know, a solid piece to a team, but not a superstar.
Sheesh, 2 years, $36 million for Conforto.
Okay, and we've seen his average at 220, 225, but hit and not even hit 40 home runs.
All his other numbers are really good, Don Conforto.
Yeah, high 20 home run, 28 to 30 home runs.
High RBIs, you know.
Yeah, decent on base percentage.
He's a very good defender. He's a very good defender in the outfield.
Very good, yep.
So you get all those things, but you lose batting average. So it depends on what the team needs.
Yeah.
But I'd rather be a Hall of Famer with all the credentials so that no
for
one
sure.
can say to me,
absolutely.
This is what it is. You know, because Mark McGwire never should be in the Hall of Fame. Neither should A-Rod. Neither should Clemens. All these guys that cheated and did everything that they did to make themselves better. If everybody cheated, great. You could be a Hall of Famer. But not everybody cheated. You hit that little skinny guy from Nicaragua who's throwing 89 trying to stay in the league. And here comes Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire and hits the ball 700 feet. And he goes and he is in the minors and he loses his little bit of career just because these guys had
that's to right.
beat a, you know, that's why they get one in the rib.
Yeah. and that's the same for the cheating scandal that took place a few years ago. They, hurt guys who were trying to make it up into the big leagues and whatnot.
Beltran.
Which by the kid, the guy the other day, who was it? From the Astros. He just
Kyle
came out.
Farmer? Did somebody give him the face the other day? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the guy who the former Astro who went on the Twitter rant.
The DH.
Agreeing with
what was that DH?
Evan Gattis. Evan Gattis.
Gattis.
Did you see that, Keith?
Atlanta.
Yeah. So, you know, he was just confirming everything. He was like, I knew exactly what was coming.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I did hear it. Yeah. And
he must have been on like some drunken Twitter rant at 2 a.m.
Everybody knows. You know? Everybody knows.
Yeah. All right. Really quick on this. I know yeah, Pat says catcher Gattis spilled the beans.
Sure.
I know that this whole thing is, you know, the whole interview with Diaz and whatnot, and he's saying he's not giving up on the season. That's great, but let's not count on it. Let's not count on this as a possibility. How amazing would it be if he could join the club at the tail end of the playoffs and make an impact? That would be like what's his name, Willis Reed. Coming from the back, but I say that's great. Be a cheerleader, do your thing, get rehab, and come back. If that happens this year, fantastic. If not, wow. You almost ghosted. You're like,
that was crazy.
Obviously, if he comes back, it'll be great. But you know, what is the likelihood, even if he does come back, that he's going to come back out of the gate dominant and be this driving force in the playoffs for us? Probably not.
Yeah, well, but, it's months and months
you never
and months
know.
Away.
I mean, listen, aim
why
for
would
it?
He come back if he couldn't perform? You wouldn't want him back. I mean, they go through all these checks and balances, so if he's coming back, he's going to be ready.
Right, of course, but what I mean is, like, at the end of the season, he's not going to have that same live major league pitching experience. All these guys are going to have played 100-plus games. They're going to be out there ready to go, you know. He's just
and plus he would have to be ready.
He's a rookie.
He would have to be ready
before in the majors.
Yeah, it's different though. Come on, you know that.
No, but
he plays in the minors and he gets ready and he comes and plays.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna say he would need to be ready by, you know, at some point early September,
August,
right?
To make the playoffs.
Well, the roster, yeah, but he would have to be getting in shape and ready to go by like September 1st to get himself in shape and then hit the big club. But that's months and months away.
Neither here nor there.
Championship either way. It is there, Keith. It is there.
It is also here. Pointing at a calendar. I don't know what here is.
I can point at a calendar and say it's there.
I could also point at a calendar and say it's here.
Yes. So it is. So if it's neither here or there, it could also be here and there. Yeah.
But it can't be anywhere, can it?
It can't be anywhere.
It's got to be somewhere.
That's just too aggressive there. All right. Next up, Alvarez. We were just talking about this right before when we stopped ourselves and we said we're having a show before the show. But Alvarez,
I don't remember that.
Our whole lives are a show. But all right. So there's a lot of things going on the internet. Surprise, surprise. Alvarez is either not playing enough or he's playing too much, or he's should be going back down to the minor leagues and he's not going to be ready. And then I saw somebody, William, I think he was talking about not being able to play in New York. I see Alvarez falling into this category. We are jumping to conclusions, everybody.
Oh my God. Who said this?
We are jumping, William. We're all William listen.
Is on our chat. On our chat.
Yeah, he's here. Yeah. Boom.
William, have you?
It's a potential. Who knows? But it's too early to tell.
He hasn't even played.
Wait, what category is he speaking about exactly?
That's I think it was the not everybody when we were talking about guys that can't play in New York when we were talking about Darren Ruff.
He hit a home run, didn't he?
Did he?
First at bat? I thought so.
I don't know. Being the number one prospect in the league is a lot of pressure in itself, and he was performing in the minor leagues. It's just he's not getting consistent play, in my opinion. But we're going to get into that.
Yeah. Let him play a full season, then condemn him at least. Good Lord.
Yeah. I don't, you know, that's forecasting to the future. You can think to the future, but still, you know, understand what's going on now.
Doom and gloom to the people.
Doom and gloom. But I find it weird that we have we have not learned our lesson. William. We haven't learned our lesson from last year. How we tried to defend McCann, except for producer Joe. We tried to say his defense was doing the defense, but he just wasn't doing it. Now you got Nito. I know it's early, but Nito has looked beyond awful at the plate.
Nito is an amazing defensive catcher.
Very good defensive catcher.
You into
he learned a lot from McCann.
Backup role where you play a third of the season.
Right. So in my opinion, Alvarez should be playing, not every day, but you know, even if you want to limit some of the pressure, and maybe you want to put him in his DH, and he could focus on his hitting. Now the other day, a game a week, Rodriguez. The other day, he was seven balls as the last batter, and he swung at all of them. But you know, that's just what rookies do. He's got to play more.
Do you think what plays into that a lot? Maybe the fact that he's not getting the opportunity, so he's trying to take advantage of the ones he has without being smart at the plate.
Yeah, I think
a little over anxious.
I think any rook, even if he was hitting, you know, 350, I think that spot is an anxious spot no matter what. But I think he doesn't swing at every single high fastball.
Right. I don't think so either. I think if he knew I have a place here.
It's still a heart rate up. Here. I'm a rookie and it's in New York.
Didn't he just come up
against Hader? Against freaking Hader.
I mean, come on, guys. You guys are right, though. He should be playing at least 50% of the games. Absolutely should be playing 50% of the games, no matter with who. I would, honestly, to me, I would start him the most at 50% of the games just to keep him in the loop and get him.
And at least one of those games during the week at DH, just to keep.
I wouldn't even put him at DH because I know he can hit. I'm not worried about it. I have other guys on the bench that can fill that DH spot, Vogel Fat. Get rid of him. But, you know, there's guys, you know, there's guys that can DH. He needs to catch, and he needs to catch in major league games and feel comfortable. And who's the best pitcher? Well, here's the question. Okay, we're talking about this kid catching. Who do you think is the best guy on the staff that he should catch? The guy that would help him the most as a catcher and the guy that would be able to have a good game even with him catching. What guy on our staff?
That's tough right now. I wouldn't put that on Scherzer because Scherzer's too emotional.
We're looking at Nito. For me, it's either Peterson or McGill. They've pitched him before. He has a familiarity with them. You know, call the game. They've called how many games have they called together?
And they've done well together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which proof is in the pudding?
So there's your answer. There's who he should catch.
Yeah,
definitely not Cookie because
Cookie needs somebody that could talk to him in Spanish. So Nito has to be beyond the plate. I'm gonna be honest.
Alvarez speaks Spanish, doesn't he?
Yeah, but a grown man from Spanish. Not a 20-year-old.
Grown man Spanish.
A grown man.
One with a little more hair on his toenails.
Not well. on his, yeah.
All right. So
right over there.
So I think we all agree that Alvarez should be playing a little bit more, should be getting out there, and Nito's not doing anything to overwhelm him, so it's not like that's happening.
Nito is never going to be overwhelming at the plate. He's had some nice hits every now and then. He had that little roller up the third baseline. Was amazing. He's got these little streaks where he gets these little timely hits, but he's never going to be that player where you're like, oh,
that's when he stole Lindor's power.
Oh, this is a key spot in the lineup. Thank God Nito's up.
When Lindor's slumped, Nito's getting better. Watch.
Yeah. All right,
he steals Lindor's power. You know what? I'd rather Lindor have the power. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Leave Lindor's power alone.
McGill and Peterson, now that we've mentioned them, can't say enough about how they've come up and performed. One is filling in for Verlander, and one is filling in for Quintana. And when Verlander, we could tie this whole conversation up into one, Verlander is going to start going on a rehab starts. When he comes back, McGill and Peterson are going to make it super difficult on Buck and team to say, do we go to a six-man rotation or does Cookie get hurt? Is there like a with his thumb or something? Go and work some kinks out and let that be the starting five?
Our top two pitchers being as old as they are, I think going six is a smart move.
Thank you.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think there's that, really much.
I mean, we all agree on this. It's not even Keith. You're still right, man. They're old.
But both things can happen. Like Cookie can get injured and work on some stuff for 10 days, and then come back and be a six man. Work on his injured.
You're gonna work on his stuff.
Aren't you supposed to have two quotations to in
sorry,
circle?
This was the comments. Here we go.
What's he doing with the other hand? What's he doing with the other hand?
I know.
Hey, don't worry about where this hand is.
We're not worried. We don't.
The microphone desk is shaking a bit.
No one wants to know.
Oh, sorry. You noticed that. So McGill and Peterson combined with Robinson and Ottavino, I can't say enough about this little group here, the two that are making a big impact at the start of the game and two making a huge impact at the end of the game. Rodriguez, you mentioned a little bit before, they've been there, they've done that. It's nice to have. Not often do you lose the top closer in the game and have guys who can fill in. Obviously not the electricity of an Edwin Diaz with the trumpets. We get a little Sweet Home Alabama.
No pizzazz.
And what's the other one with I forget what Ottavino's is.
See, that's the thing. If you forget, it doesn't matter. If you don't even know it, it doesn't matter.
And I just remember the Sweet Home Alabama because they made fun of it in comparison to the Timmy trumpets.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing. When you have guys like that, I think this frees Buck up to be more of a manager because he doesn't have that Edwin Diaz crutch for the ninth inning that he almost kind of always kind of has to use Edwin Diaz in the ninth inning. So a lot of times he doesn't, which is a huge credit to him as a manager and as a guy that's running the team. I think it's well done when he brings him in sometimes in the eighth to stop those three, four, and five guys batting up in the eighth, shut them down. And he did it this time. Didn't he do it this week with Robertson, I think?
Yep.
So now he's more free to manage because these guys, it's not about ego. It's not about you're the closer, you're doing this. You're a pitcher, you're a bullpen pitcher, and you come in whenever you need to come in. Let's see how good a manager Buck is. This is going to prove a lot because, I mean, he doesn't have the best closer in the game, dude. He hasn't had Verlander, and he's still winning games, winning series. By a lot, not fun, but he's winning series.
So just a quick rant. Uh-oh, and I had this little quick conversation with Farachi, I think yesterday, the day before. Tiki Barber, Tiki in Tyranny. I mean, listen.
Oh, we talked about it last night on another show on Sportsmanlike Conduct.
Did you? This guy is a schmo. And
have you heard that, Rodriguez? I'm not sure if Rodriguez has heard this. Oh, you did.
I haven't heard. I heard you guys talking about it. I don't know. I didn't see it or read it myself. But I
yeah,
I heard,
he's a
schmo. Through you guys.
So
what's he know about baseball? It's that simple. It's
like, thank you. Up,
right. Number one, you, right? So here's what I told
away your Super Bowl.
Here's what I told Farachi. You literally, with your big mouth, threw away a Super Bowl championship, cried, ran from conflict, and retired in 2006 at the top of your game. You could have been a 2007 Giant and won a championship, but no. You didn't like the rules, the regulations, wham. And ever since then, you've done nothing but whine and cry, Tiki Barber. You should be more like your brother, Rondé, who understands the game, understands where input is needed and not needed, and go from there, because you're a loser. Your brother's a winner. And follow his suit. Here's the deal.
I'm not calling the guy a loser. Yeah,
no, he was an amazing running back for us. And I loved watching him, but his comments and
you're not a baseball guy. Shut up.
Quite frankly, the way, like I said, he threw himself out of a Super Bowl championship. Get out, Buck. He said Buck Showalter. I don't know if it was his words exactly, or Tierney, or a combination of those two morons. But Buck Showalter is the main problem. Okay, 12 whatever games, 13, 14 games into the season, all of a sudden Buck Showalter, the manager of the year, who won 101 games last year, is the main problem. I mean, that's all I have to say. That's just. If you just take all those facts I just threw at you and let that process against what his comments were,
make a comment and show how stupid you are to keep on.
Yeah, it's
don't do it. Just you don't know baseball.
And this coming from a guy who had to be taught while in the NFL how to carry a football.
Every time he
learned how to carry that ball, and that dude, I mean, listen, his performance figured on the field it out was once it bar clicked, none, amazing. Yeah. I loved him as a Giant, but you know, Tom Coughlin's too tough for me. I'm gonna run and hide, and then you.
That's why he doesn't like. That's why he doesn't like Buck. You just nailed it right there.
Yeah,
because Tom Coughlin was too tough for him, and Buck is the same like Coughlin. He's gonna say, "You do what I tell you," because I'm the manager.
But you know what happened with Tom Coughlin? The same thing that's happening with Buck. The players loved and respected him. The ones that filtered out, and went through to the other side. Love and respected him.
Tom says he didn't learn too much at University of UVA. I lost my train of thought there.
I wonder why.
We were talking about hair.
Oh, the Tiki thing. Yeah, I mean, and then for Tiki to say that, you know, Max is no longer a dominant pitcher. Chill out, bro.
Five innings and one hit against the Padres.
And he didn't even have as good shit.
Listen, and the Padres are slumping, but that lineup is freaking, like, scary.
Dude, you got to pitch. You got to know how to pitch. I don't care any how moment. Slump.
Like, look at Soto.
Any moment.
Soto's looking like crap the whole game. All of a sudden, boom, 400, 5 million, 700 moonshot.
That home run, that little trot, bro. Let me tell you something.
Oh, that was a big
pissed about.
I know. Yeah, I was waiting for you to say that.
No, that trot was a big effort. If you notice, Pete's not really that kind of player. Pete just goes out there and performs, and he don't care what the other team thinks. He's just there to win and perform. But if you notice, after he hit his home run, he paused a little bit more than he normally would.
He did it to spot to let him know.
Yep.
This is polar bear country. You don't come in here, Soto Mojo, whatever you want to call yourself. That was such a terrible thing. He can do that for us next year when we bring him over to the Mets. However, this year, don't do this, dude, because I don't care how superstar you are. In the ribs.
In the ribs. In the ribs. All right, so moral of the story, Tiki, quiet down. Thank you. Shut up. We appreciate it. All right, so like I mentioned, looks like Verlander will be right around the corner, not too far away. It's nice to have a player say it's not too bad. I think I'll be back then, and it's really actually working towards that. But we'll see how that goes.
You mean they're telling the truth? It's nice to hear them tell.
Yeah,
the truth.
Yeah.
Just say it like that, because that's.
Aside from his TJ surgery, really Verlander has been a master at taking care of his body. And I'll say that for Max too. He's had a little injuries here and there, but you know, those guys are really they should be an example for a lot of these pitchers these days on how to take care of their bodies. I guess, you know, injuries are not always preventable, but they're bar none. best.
And Max knows his body.
They are preventable. I mean, he took them out. They are preventable if you do, like you mostly, said. But they've done a good job.
What's the famous thing that Keith Hernandez has been saying for the last few years? I told him no sit-ups. Because when they say that somebody had an oblique injury, he was like, I never did sit-ups. he was smoking cigarettes, not doing sit-ups and stuff, and hitting like 340, drinking.
Know, dropping eight balls with diamond
arrow. He had everything in his body.
Cruising Flushing Avenue and
Corona. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you think about it, how much fun would we be making of that kind of player if it was on another team? But he is beloved for all that stuff.
He's basically a career 300 hitter, what, 11 gold gloves? I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, two world championships.
11 gold gloves, MVP, two titles. Come on.
Put him in.
All right, so home stand is out of the way.
They put in Edgar Martinez.
I know you hate that. I know you hate the DHs.
I respect them, but Edgar Martinez should no way in hell be in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry to disrupt this, but I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I like him, and he's got his hits, and he can hit. But, dude, if Edgar Martinez is in the Hall of Fame over Keith Hernandez, it's a tragedy.
It is, because he's a known cheater. He got caught. Number one,
Martinez was a cheater.
Didn't they argue? Oh, no, who am
I thinking? Martinez. No,
who was the DH all those years for the? I think the Indians.
Big Poppy.
For the Indians. I'm mixing names.
Albert Bell.
Albert Bell. I mean, you didn't really need.
I apologize if he's not a cheater, but he is.
Remember that forearm to the little guy at second base, yeah. Fernando Vina.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that name in a long time. See that? I can't tell you what I had for breakfast this morning, but I'll tell you Fernando Vina from 1996, on my team. It's fucking weird.
That says a lot. He was on our team. Well, he was a Met.
He was a Met. But yes. All right. So respect. First mega trip of the year for the Mets. Not to start off mega, but here's the thing. We cannot, and I know Buck won't let them, can't look forward here. Got to take care of the Athletics. They suck. They have a team ERA about 8. They get about 400 people a game. They have no recognizable stars. The one guy, Seth Brown, I think his name is Seth something. He's out. Yes.
The catcher, right?
He's out for the year. So they have nobody now. That's not to say that. And I also think it sucks that the Mets are in Oakland for Jackie Robinson Day. That shouldn't be,
especially with the stadium we have. That makes no sense.
There's gonna be 500 people in Oakland. That's they should make up for it when they come back. They should do it again. But you know, you want to say that they'll sweep these guys, and that's gonna be my pick. I'm gonna say they're not gonna look ahead. They're just gonna take advantage of this shitty team and sweep their asses. What do you guys think?
I know,
even the worst of the teams, you're like skittish sometimes to say sweep, but I'm going for it, baby.
It's the whole West Coast thing. And, you know, Oakland is a scrappy team, always have been. I'm going 2 out of 3.
All right. Screw you.
I agree with the Farachi.
Did that come too loud?
Sorry. Unfortunately, I agree with Farachi. I think we can get. I think we're gonna get a sweep. I think if they're smart, they're gonna use this team to sharpen their bats. They're gonna, because these guys are struggling. They gotta pound on their mistakes, feel more comfortable, get better, feel more relaxed at the plate, and take that over to the next team.
And so I'm hoping for the August trade.
Right off the DFA list. Just bring them in.
All right. Well, just
be right.
You got Senga going for the. I didn't really, because it really doesn't matter. I mean, if you're looking at Senga versus Caprielian,
one
an 11.17 ERA. So that's game one. That's a 9:40 start. Saturday is 4:00. Carrasco with an 11.42 ERA will not have the lowest ERA in that matchup. Fujinami has a 17.55 ERA.
What if Carrasco gets bombed that game? The patch point.
How he's got to get hurt. He's hurt. He's got to get hurt.
Pull something.
Pulled.
So short
he's
leash.
Going to. Oh, he's going to get hurt.
I have a ligament issue in my thumb.
They're going to jump him in.
We're going to make him an offer he can't refuse. That's what's going to happen.
Sunday is Scherzer. And I won't even talk about his record ERA. It's too early for a guy like him versus some guy named Sears. Roebuck. I could think of it. He's got the lowest ERA of the three, 5.59.
If we get that third game with two wins, I'll be a believer in this sweep for sure.
Say that again. I missed the
first If one. We get to that third game with two wins, I will be a believer in the fact that
wait. Are any of those two guys lefties? Any of their pitchers lefties?
What does it matter? We got Vogel back.
No. Okay. I just want to know.
No, the first guy's a righty, Capriliani. Fujinami is also a righty. I've not seen any left-handed Japanese players that throw the ball at. Did Hideki Matsui throw lefty? That's it. So.
Fernando. Wasn't Fernando on the Dodgers? Wasn't he a Chinese? Asian?
Wait.
Fernando Venezuela?
Venezuela?
Wasn't he from Venezuela?
Oh.
No, he's from Mexico.
He was Chinese-Mexican, I think.
The last kid, the last guy, Sears, John Patrick Sears, from Sumter, South Carolina. He's a lefty. He's 27.
He might be a problem, but other than that, I think we're good.
He made his major league debut at 26, and that's not to say anything negative about him, but that's a little late bloomer.
Not to say, but just to imply.
It usually means they had no other options left and had to pull him up.
Right.
47, right, right. 43.
And now he's playing for Oakland. So, and then the only pitcher that's...
Don't talk bad about Oakland.
The only
I love
pitcher,
their unis, man.
Wait a second. By the way, yeah, their uniforms. They are... Did they really have to do the anniversary of the 73 World Series when the Mets were in town? They didn't know until, like, they wouldn't have played the American League West, the Mets. So they didn't know until the beginning of this year when the schedule got released. Douchebags.
It's a good way to. So that's why we need that sweep. That sweep is really important.
Douchey.
No, you bags. Don't, all you right. Don't us, we you.
Yeah.
Not us, you.
The only pitcher for the Dodgers series that has been announced on either side is David Peterson, and that is the Monday game. Dodgers 7-6, Mets at 7-6, and I think Oakland is 3-10. So heading into Los Angeles, we don't have the names of the pitchers right now, but thinking through team wise, the Dodgers haven't looked nearly as dominant right now as they have. I know, and again, it's only 13 games in.
Now's the time.
But yeah, I think if you use that Oakland series to get right, you can take two out of three with Los Angeles and head into San Francisco later next week with some really good momentum. Keith, start with you on this one, with the Dodgers series.
So this is a tough one because there's still the Dodgers, a lot of great players on that team. So I'm, leaning between 1-2 and 2-1. I'm going to lean a little bit towards 2-1 right now. I think that we're going to have one of those West Coast success trips. We're not going to dominate. We're not going to come home with, I'm going to include the Giants, 8 wins. But I do think we're going to come home with a winning record. And I think part of that's going to include taking 2 from the Dodgers, 2-1.
How amazing would it be to come home with an 8-win road trip? I just got goosebumps there, Keith.
I'm just
you got me dreaming.
I'm praying for 6, hoping for 7. I mean,
yeah, why not? We beat the Padres.
3-3.
We beat the
4.
Padres, right?
Yeah, beat them 2 out of 3. Was it 3-3 and 4?
3, 3, and 4.
10.
3, 3.
So it's a 10-game trip.
10-game trip.
Whew, yep. 8-2 would be the naysayers would be like, amazing. What do we complain about now?
No, they'll still complain.
They would have to find
7 wins would be amazing. 6 wins, I'm happy. Keep it moving.
6-5. If you come home from the road with a winning record, it's golden.
Especially against West Coast teams. Even 500.
Exactly, Keith. Especially against those teams.
Yeah, but it's statement 500 time.
Ball, 500 of ball will be fine, too.
On a West Coast trip? Hell yeah. Honestly, especially when, yeah. And I think we got 3 of them this year with mm-hmm. the new schedule. But, you know, set the tone early with the Padres, set the tone with the Dodgers and say, hey, we're the 2023 World Series champions.
Come get us.
Come get us. All right. So I think we've covered everything. Anybody else have anything that they want to bring up for the New York Metropolitans? Crowds have been good. That's that new scoreboard is whew.
Super early, but we're averaging over 30,000 a game. I mean, wow. And I think that can only get better through the summer as long as we're winning.
Wow.
So that's pretty good. I miss the old days, Chase Stadium, 56,000 fans, but
it's a 42,000 seater, right? Because of who? And that's the day that we're not home, Karachi. Say it again.
Yep. Yep, because of the Wilpons and their obsession with the Dodgers. And
yet we're not home. Isn't that an FU? Isn't that sort of like an MLB FU to you? I mean,
I don't usually get upset with these things, but
your stadium is built around a guy, and we're not home. We should, it's every home game. We should be at every year, we should be at home for Jackie Robinson Day. It makes no sense. It's logical, you know?
Yeah, definitely, because we are the representation of National League Baseball in New York, which is where Jackie Robinson was,
We're the continuation of that team, dude. We're the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants mixed together.
Charlie dodging bitches ran to the West Coast.
Good. We'd be Dodger fans.
Well said.
I'm glad they left. We would be Dodger fans right now.
There's nothing wrong with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
No, my mom.
Charlie Dodgers.
My mom loved the Brooklyn Dodgers. She was devastated, and when they left Brooklyn, and then they, you know, people went to become either Yankee fans or they stopped, and she was like, I'm never become a Yankee fan, and she's been a Met fan since '62.
Well said, Mama Farachi.
Yeah. All right, so I think that does it for this week. Go and watch some of those, like, not 4K, not 8K, but like 18K video highlights that they have. Like one that you sent me, Rodriguez. If you go on the MLB app, those. Yeah. Oh, the picture on it is just it's just incredible.
Yeah.
All right, let's go around robin here. Any final thoughts? We'll start off with my good friend Keith.
And he's on mute.
Yeah. I was going to let him go a little bit longer.
He knows he's on mute.
He does. Oh, wait, he did. He wasn't paying attention. That's what we said.
I was saying a lot of four-letter words. I didn't want to let out.
That's very good of you for the sake of the network. You know, the
yes.
FTC.
So I just want to say.
There it is again.
No. 1, 2, 3. Fuck-a-ta. And that's going to be a little bit of a different Fuck-a-ta because I'm going one series out. That's to Mookie Betts. Fuck-a-ta, bitch. You're going to go 0-4 for the whole Met series, and we're going to beat you, embarrass you, and make you look like trash. Also, let's go Mets. I do want to see Alvarez get some more playing time. I hope he gets it out there. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I hope Kanha wakes up and Escobar wakes up. If not, bring the kids. Let's go.
That might work.
Oof. That's good.
Listen, Kana just has to remember that, you know, it's not about taking 20 minutes and preparing yourself like a methodical robot. It's about getting to the plate and just hitting. So he'll be fine. If not, Mauricio's just waiting in line.
And when all else fails, just lead it to the pitch, bitch. Get on first base. Let's go.
He's going to get
hit anyway. He does that often, too.
Yes, he doesn't move. So, yeah. This is a really nice test for us as a team. You got to take that crappy team, the Oakland team. Got to beat up on them. If we're a 100-win team, we have to go there and take 2 out of 3 minimum. We should win 3. We got to take 2 out of 3. You know, yep. I'll take 500, but we're looking for 7. We're looking for 7 wins there, Big Tom. So, you know, come against the Dodgers. We beat the Padres. Now I have faith that we can beat the Dodgers. I don't care now. I don't whether we do it by hook or crook. We hit, we don't hit, we pitch, we play great defense. We need to win games. It's all about the W at the end of the game. Doesn't matter how you get it. So, and the Giants, I would love to humiliate JD because everybody speaks so highly of him. No, no, he's sticking in my craw now with that little baby stuff. You know, however, my Met guy wishes him luck. So I'm just a big fat liar. I love JD. Yeah. He was a good guy.
He was, right?
But let's take 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Let's go, Met.
I'm do it. All the hell for that. Just one quick note. I love that our guys are absolutely taking full advantage of the new rules. I love that McNeil is snagging a base. I love that Nimmo is figuring out how to slide. You know, they are Pete Alonso, you know, Lindor has wreaked havoc on the base paths. I mean, just
how about
he's not as good as his glove.
How about the whole team's defense? I mean, wow.
The defense has been really good, but just glad. And it is also here and there, but not anywhere.
It's somewhere though.
It is somewhere, and I should just leave it off on that because that was just beautiful. We'll talk to you all next week. We'll keep you all updated on what's going on throughout the week in the world of the Metropolitans. And have a great weekend, as will the Mets. Peace out, everybody. Put up the bucks!